met travelers, and welcome to the Kinky Tavern. Pull up a stool. What do you have to drink? Here, we're going to talk about different aspects of kink, leather, the BDSM community, relationships within it, and so much more. All opinions voiced in this podcast are just that, opinions, and they should not be taken as fact or medical advice. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
We have a new collaborator coming to the podcast, Master Devin Stone. Devin is an author, educator, and Jedi consultant. Jedi stands for Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. He has published 4 books, taught more than 200 classes, and has been featured or interviewed on more than 10 podcasts. He's also been a keynote speaker for Leather Rain and Leather Leadership Conference. If you want to book Devin as an educator, there are currently 32 classes available on his website where you can also find all of the different ways to interact with Devin, donate to him, attend his classes, and purchase his books, handouts, merch, and so much more. Go to devinstone.com/support. That's devinstone.com/support.
You can also find him on Patreon at patreon.com/devinstone, where you can see some behind-the-scenes organization for things like travel, cons, and events, as well as recaps of his social media challenges at the end of every month. You can also receive free tickets to Devin Stone events and gain access to his fabulous Discord, where you can ask Devin anything 24/7 in the Q&A channel, and receive updates on presenter applications, where there are consistently 20 to 30 live applications up at any given time.
Devin also founded Pragmatically Kinking. Since 2013, Pragmatically Kinking, or PK, has been offering discussions, classes, and panels focusing on the practical and emotional side of the BDSM, kink, leather, non-monogamy lifestyle. In 10 years, PK has held more than 400 educational and supportive events.
In 2021, the PK team developed Thrive Conference. Its aim is to center neurodivergence and mental health in kink and the leather community. Thrive is held every year in April, and the free conference sees registration from over 1,000 people every year and offers over 30 sessions.
Both PK and Thrive share the call to support new educators, marginalized communities, and create affirming spaces for everyone. You can find information about Pragmatically Kinking and Thrive through FetLife at Pragmatic Kink, and registration is through ThriveVirtualCon.com. I will also include all of these links in the description below. We'd like to thank our patrons, the regulars of the Kinky Tavern, Dopetastic Q, and the lovely Lady Katarina.
And we'd also like to thank our customers on our Patreon, Chris Canbread, Moon Goddess, and Sir Quill. The topics within this podcast are explicit. Listeners should be 18 and up only. Listener discretion is advised.
Trigger warning. Today's episode, by the nature of its topic, will be covering some more graphic content. If you're not in a place to handle this kind of discussion right now, please take care of yourself and join us for our next episode. If you are experiencing a mental health emergency, please call 911. If you need help or assistance with your struggles in trauma or mental health, please don't hesitate to reach out to the mental health hotline at 866-903-3787 or visit mentalhealthhotline.org for access to more free, confidential mental health hotlines and chats. For those that noticed, I do deeply apologize for not having an episode out last week. It bothers me a lot. I'm trying not to let it bother me. I was not doing well. I was in an awful flare. I was doing my best to exist, and that's about all I could do. So thank you all so much for your patience and understanding. I'm hoping there are not too many weeks that we are going without, but there may just have to be sometimes.
Yeah, we're kind of going, there's kind of a lot going on in our lives right now, so it could be, like we said, hopefully not very often, but there may be a few times here and there where we will have to kind of, like, just wait a week to put out an episode, so.
Yeah, because I want to give our community, like, good information, good product, good podcast. So yeah, we are doing our best.
Yeah.
And sometimes our best doesn't get an episode out. But thank you so much for your understanding and for listening.
Yes.
Hi. I'm Mix Dizzy.
And I am Marky Pupwrecker.
And today we are talking to you about cannabis.
420, blaze it.
421. But yeah, today's our 420 episode.
Yeah.
So for centuries, humans have cultivated and used cannabis both for its fibrous and its psychoactive properties. At least the last 12,000 years of human history, since the last glacial period, nomadic people migrated and spread cannabis seeds along the way. They used it for ropes, fabrics, spiritual purposes, and medicinal purposes. Cannabis itself is psychoactive, which means it interacts with the brain. This does not mean it's psychedelic, however, which is affecting your sense of reality. It can affect coordination and judgment, so of course it does make consent a little more complicated when we are talking about sex and kink.
Yeah, everyone involved in the scene or whatever you're doing with kink, if you're using cannabis, needs to know like who's using and how it affects you and all that.
You need their informed consent. Yes. And if they are not informed that you are under the influence of something, even if it is your everyday medicine, then they are not giving informed consent.
Right.
Much like alcohol, consent while under the influence of marijuana is not legal. It is influenced. You're under the influence. You're not able to consent. That being said, though, there are big differences between like an everyday medical user versus someone who's gonna get high. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the people, myself included, who use marijuana every day for medical use are not going to get high off of their medicinal dose. Does that mean that it's not affecting them at all? Absolutely not. It does affect you. And the way it affects each individual is going to be different. And there's so many factors there. Their tolerance, the strain, how they're smoking it.
Yeah. So the key thing here is to negotiate beforehand, before anything is consumed. So that would include your different boundaries, preferences, any potential risks or limitations. There are some people who are actually allergic to marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be careful and let people know beforehand and kind of discuss everything. This also includes aftercare. It's also very important for you to plan for that, even if you're just playing solo. Because there are a lot of physical and emotional reactions that can be a lot more intense when using cannabis. And you need to know how you or the people you're playing with react to cannabis, basically.
Yeah. Scening while on cannabis can be something that, if you've never experienced it, can surprise you how intense it is. We'll talk a little bit later about some of the reasons why it does intensify scenes, but physically and emotionally, your reactions can be different if you've seen on cannabis versus if you've seen not under the influence of anything. One of the things you can do to figure out how it's going to affect you, and one of the things I would highly suggest you do before consuming cannabis during a scene or being under the influence during a scene, is to test the strains, test the methods, the different terpenes, etc. alone when you're just chilling, or even maybe during masturbation, to kind of figure out how it makes you feel, both in your body and your mind. And here's where I'm going to tell you in this episode to journal. There's one in every episode, right? So if you're not an everyday user, if you don't know how what you have on hand is going to affect you before you go into a scene, it's going to be really crucial for you to test these things and write them down. How does it make you feel? How long does it take to kick in? How long does it last? Would I feel comfortable topping right now? Would I feel comfortable bottoming right now? Would I feel comfortable with someone who is under the influence in this way topping me or bottoming for me? There are lots of different molecules and chemicals that are involved in smoking or consuming cannabis. And a lot of these you have heard of: THC, CBD, CBG, CBN, terpenes, etc. And each of them will affect each individual human in a different way. So definitely testing out the different things. Even if you're not doing strain specific, looking at the way things that are higher in THC affect you, things that are, you know, the limonene terpenes versus other terpenes or what have you.
It's also good to figure out what methods work best for you or which ones affect you more than others, because you can smoke it, you can vape it, dab, taking edibles. There's also oils and like lotions and potions and things like that. So, and each one of those is going to affect you differently in how it's being consumed. For example, someone who takes edibles, for a lot of people, it takes edibles a lot longer to kick in, and they can be a lot more intense and stronger. Whereas, like, smoking or vaping can be a little less and be quicker to take effect. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on how it interacts with each person.
Yeah. And another example, I have gastrointestinal issues as part of my chronic illnesses. And the way that mine work with edibles, I just don't feel anything off of them. I can eat half a bag of cookies, and not that I've not eaten half a bag, but I've eaten several cookies at once and not felt a damn thing. So also, oils and potions aren't typically going to affect you psychoactively. They are going to be applied topically and affect more of the skin and the nerves, maybe, you know, but it's not going to get, typically, it's not going to get up into your brain.
Yeah, usually the oils and lotions are tended more for like a nerve pain or like a quick analgesic pain relief type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they also have like lubes and stuff with like CBD. I saw some things while I was looking about specifically AFABs who are in menopause and having like dryness and such, using CBD lube to not only lube you up, but also to kind of relax everything down there.
Hmm.
And there was really good reviews on that use of it. So,
yeah. I mean, well, I would be careful with the lubes though. I mean, always like test and figure out what's going to work for you. Because like, if you're using it anally, you can absorb a lot of that.
That's very true. Yeah. So typically they are CBD though, not THC.
No,
CBD is the non-psychoactive part of cannabis. And so it does affect things, but not necessarily your thinking. But again, everyone is different. So,
yeah.
So how does cannabis affect arousal and hormones? First of all, anyone who's ever smoked or consumed can tell you that it kind of gets you out of your head and into your body. Some strains can. I will say there are some strains that don't do this, but it'll get you out of your head and into your body and allow you to be present despite any self-consciousness or dysphoria issues or even like chronic pain, discomfort, things like that. Of course, with this, we do want to be careful because there are ways that it can reduce discomfort in a way that is not great, such as if you are doing anal sex, you want to be able to feel things. That's why I always suggest to not use the numbing lubes, because if you can't feel if something's wrong, something can go really wrong, really fast.
Yeah. Also, another thing is that marijuana can heighten your senses, your sense of touch, your smell, sight, sound, taste, how you kind of interact with things, because it's going to heighten some things and also kind of, I don't want to say numb, but like kind of lower how you experience other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a study done on cannabis and sex, which is linked down below, 70% of participants reported enhanced libido and orgasms when using cannabis. And 40% of women in the study reported being able to reach multiple orgasms. This could very well be because cannabis is a vasodilator, so it brings blood to the surface. And of course, arousal brings blood to the surface, and it's kind of a cycle. If blood is brought to the surface, you are more easily aroused, typically. And as you are aroused, more blood is brought to the surface. So it can be a very intense cycle of arousal.
We keep using the word intense, and I'm refraining from making it bad.
Why don't you go ahead and get it out of your system,
my love? No, I'm gonna.
Are you?
I'm gonna.
Are you?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Another thing that cannabis does is it stimulates the production of dopamine in the system, which is the happy chemical that your brain produces. It also goes with the endocannabinoid system, which is a system inside your body.
Yeah, did you know that your body makes cannabinoids?
Yes, there are actually specific receptors in the brain for cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids. Yeah. So we have two different kinds of cannabinoids in our system. One is created inside of the body, that's endogenous. And then there's outside of the body, which is what you are introducing through consuming cannabis, and that's called exogenous. So endogenous regulate your biochemistry for things like mood, sleep, hunger, metabolism, energy. That's why we get hungry. That's why our mood is affected. That's why we can get a little sleepy sometimes. Exogenous chemicals, which are ones that you are bringing from outside, you are consuming them, bind to these same receptors that the endogenous cannabinoids do, which often cause the same reactions. One of the molecules that is created by the endocannabinoid system is anandamide. And this is created in the body. It is stimulated by THC. And it is known as the joy or bliss molecule.
And the other one is called 2-AG, which is also created in the body, but is stimulated by CBD. And is also released during arousal.
Yeah, so I think that would probably work very similarly to the vasodilator. It's going to be released during arousal. It's going to be released by CBD, causing arousal, and then released by arousal.
Yeah, I don't know, CBD is kind of different than THC, obviously, because there's no psychoactive parts to it. But I always get more of a body high when when I consume CBD. And I actually kind of like it better almost. Because it's like, it doesn't really alter your headspace at all. It's just more of like a relaxing of the body.
Absolutely.
At least for me. And it's going to affect everyone differently, obviously. So
definitely, I will say not everything is going to be positive for everyone. There are some possible negatives, not only in your mood and how it affects you mentally or even physically, how you feel on it, but cannabis has been shown to possibly to alter sperm count, shape, and motility. So keep that in mind if you are specifically looking to have reproductive sex.
Were there no negative effects for the vagina-having users?
There were none listed as far as like fertility and such. If I'm honest, this was actually a little more difficult to research, surprisingly. Huh. There are some actual studies. Like I said, I pulled from some studies, or a study, the most recent study on it that I could find. And other than that, like it's pretty, I guess I should say it was difficult to find things, resources that I thought I could trust about cannabis and sex. Those more scholarly articles, the actual studies, the scientific looks at things. I did watch some videos and listen to some podcasts and such by scientists who were discussing the actual way that the chemicals react in your body and such. But it was kind of difficult to find specifically. There was nothing I could find on cannabis and kink other than like people on FetLife sharing their own anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
Which I did look at. But for the most part, even cannabis and sex was pretty difficult to find things on.
Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense, especially here in the U.S. because it's only recently become more of a popular thing, and it's still, like, federally illegal. It's still a Schedule I substance, which I think they're working to change, but I don't know. I haven't done the research and all that. But, so it makes it really hard to get access to it to do, like, the actual peer-reviewed studies and things on it.
Right. not even necessarily just the access, but the approval to use drugs in a research study is difficult to get no matter what you're using. And because marijuana is still called a Schedule I drug, which is up there with the likes of heroin and meth, it is very difficult to approve studies for cannabis use. And I'm not sure. I haven't like looked into this very much, but I would also think that it's a little more difficult to get sex studies approved than it is for other types of studies, just based on the stigma that, especially in the U.S. spaces, sex has.
Yeah, that's also fair.
Yeah. So make sure that you do your own research on how this might affect you, both positively and negatively, and test different things. Make sure that you know how it's going to affect you. And yeah, how can we use cannabis and kink? Lots of ways. Oh, let me tell you the ways. So as we said, cannabis can enhance sensation, can enhance your senses, and so it can also enhance sensation play or sensory deprivation play. I cannot even imagine being high and forced to be deprived of my senses. Of course, consensually, but like that would be so maddening.
See, I would think that would be fun.
That's awesome. I do think there are people out there who would very much enjoy that. And that kind of emotional sadism with the maddening bit of it for the people who would maybe not love it so much. It could be kinky because they don't love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can also increase the immersion and intimacy between your partners that you're playing with. It can help solidify that connection that you have with them, because it's a very kind of intimate thing to, like, you know, share a joint or something, either before play or like during the scene itself. And there's a lot of ways you can like incorporate it into the scene itself too.
Mm-hmm. But even just being in that, like, it deepens headspaces. And so if you are under the influence of cannabis and in a scene, it's going to deepen that, whether that be subspace, top space, role play, whatever it is, and also deepen that intimacy, deepen that romantic connection or that intimate connection that you have with them.
Yes.
It can also inhibit anxiety and increase relaxation, which will help you kind of explore and be vulnerable and have that be less scary and intimidating.
Yeah, this can also be used in scene planning to kind of help free up your creativity. I mean, there's many ways you can use this, either in scene or like before the scene as kind of like a prep, or even as aftercare as well. And like you said there earlier, there's also infused lubes and massage oils that you can use to kind of help enhance the scene as well.
Yeah. Real quick, before we get into one of my favorite ways to use cannabis in kink, I did want to touch on using cannabis for chronic pain and mental health, and kind of how that affects kink. As a frequent marijuana user for medicinal reasons for my chronic pain, it is something that honestly, like I said, it doesn't really get me high anymore. I don't get that head change that a lot of people report, or that I used to feel, or that I can feel if I smoke an intense amount. But it can allow you to like relax and focus on the positive sensations happening rather than the negative ones, especially if you have constant pain like I do. It can also reduce like your general anxiety, whether that be about the scene or just if you have anxiety in your body. It can help you kind of shed those things, even if just for a little bit, to get the most out of your scene. And it can also help lower pain and inflammation in the body, which for people with chronic pain is very helpful. Even if you just use CBD and there's no psychoactive effects, if the CBD helps lower your pain, it can help you so much in a scene. It can help you enjoy the scene. It can help you be immersed in the scene. And that's all just because your pain is no longer bothering you at the moment, or it's lowered. And now, my very favorite way to include kink, to include cannabis in kink. Service. Cannabis service.
Yes.
Currently, Wrecker does provide cannabis service for me in the form of grinding it, making sure that it is prepared for me, keeping it in stock for me. He also packs blunts for me. You can also do joint rolling. You can learn different ways to roll joints and blunts, your partner's favorite ways, and you can also light them a lot like a cigar. You can either light them in your own mouth or in your partner's mouth, depending on how the top wants it done.
Yeah, and this can even go further than that. You can also do things that you do with cigar play, like ash service, ashing in someone's mouth or hand.
I will say the ash of a blunt or joint is going to be much different than the ash of a cigar. So be very cautious. Know what you're doing. I don't know how to do this, so I can't tell you, but do your research.
Yes, I do believe, I could be wrong on this, but I do believe that marijuana burns at a lower temperature than tobacco does. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a different learning curve there if you're familiar with cigar play.
Right.
Because cigars can get very hot, and you usually have to like let them cool down a bit before you can actually ash in someone's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same is true with marijuana, but I don't think there's as much of a wait time, probably, because it's a cooler ember on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had bits of ash fall from my blunt onto me, and it usually doesn't even feel warm at that point.
Oh yeah, it can even go out on you, like, mm-hmm. when you're just smoking it. So, and I think that's because of all it gets very resonated and it builds up and it just kind of, it's harder to burn.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You can also make edibles or teas. And part of that can be like the curation of the experience. You can also just be your partner's bud tender, your mm-hmm. top's bud tender, and figure out their different needs and how different strains interact with those needs. Much like learning a consistent top's favorite tea or cigar and keeping a little butler book page for them on that, you can do that with marijuana as well.
Yeah, another thing you can do is you can also kind of mess around with different strains and blends, mixing them together to kind of, like you said, curate the experience. And like, especially if you have someone that has chronic pain, mm-hmm. you can find like specific strains that work better for them and kind of mix them together and figure out what kind of a blend would work better for them or something along those lines. Like knowing whether someone does better with a indica or a sativa or a hybrid or like a combination thereof would be something that you can mess around with and figure out what works for your partner.
Mm-hmm. I have found that terpenes are also very important in how my pain is affected specifically, mm-hmm. Because that is the thing that I am using the marijuana for. That's what I kind of, you know, gauge my reaction on is based on my pain, the lowering of my pain.
Yeah.
You can also add different herbs, different smokable herbs. Make sure you do your research, you vet the people that are providing it, the manufacturers, because you're smoking it, much like, you know, making sure something is food grade. You need to make sure that this has been cultivated in a way that makes it smokable. And those can be things like lavender. I know some people use rose petals, mullein leaf, tobacco, all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing, like each strain is going to be different. It's going to have a different percentage of THC and CBD. And like you said, there's going to be different terpenes in different strains. And that's the terpenes kind of, I don't know too terribly much about them, but each one has like its own kind of properties that affect things.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have like their own smells and flavors. So that could also be part of the experience as well. So there's a lot that goes into what makes up a strain between like the THC content, the CBD content, the different strains in it, whether it's a indica, a hybrid, or a sativa, those are all going to affect things in a different way. It's a very complex thing to kind of figure out and figure out what works best for you. And there's so many strains out there that it's, I mean, there's websites to help, but even then, like, there are certain strains that are just not on there yet because they're mixed with something else in this, and you gotta kind of like do your research, like, well, it was mixed with this strain and this strain, so you gotta figure out it could possibly do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, and then, like, not only that, but like adding in like how you consume it and how it's prepared, and there's a whole bunch that can go into it. So it really helps to like know a bud tender or someone who has that experience to kind of help figure out what will work best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, there are websites like
Leafly.
That's the one I use. Thank you. Leafly is the one I typically use. I'll look up a strain and see what the typical properties, the typical reactions people have to them. But again, it is individualized with each person, but that is a good place to start.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Well, that is all I've got for Cannabis and Kink. One of my... I mean, I would say it's my favorite, but it's also something that I need. I need cannabis in order to be able to function enough to do scenes. Without cannabis, I wouldn't even be able to do this podcast, if I'm honest. There have been times that I have been without, and
yeah,
it's been rough.
Yeah, there were times when we were struggling financially and we couldn't quite afford what you needed. Mm-hmm. We could afford it here and there. But, like, there were times when you were out for almost a week and...
More than that, sometimes.
Well, yeah, you could barely function, like, day to day, and it was
I wasn't functioning. I was in bed. Thankfully, I could get up to go, like, to the bathroom, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it helps you to be able to be productive and do things and exist relatively normally.
Yeah. Which... I am working on my idea of productivity because we have to deconstruct productivity from capitalism because it is a very capitalist idea. However, being productive and being able to provide something like this to my community does help me feel better mentally and emotionally. So that's why that's important to me.
That's also partially why, like, we don't really care too much if we make money off the podcast, because it's more for the community than anything. I mean, if we do make a little money off of it, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, every little bit helps, but I mean, it's not the sole reason why we do this. We do this for the community.
Mm-hmm.
To educate. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
there's something else I thought I was gonna say. Okay. And now, Daddy, would you please lead us out with a daddy joke?
That was a pretty intense pause.
We're not camping.
If you didn't say it, I was going to. So. But yes, I do have a daddy joke, and it is themed. I actually found one. Like,
nice.
I didn't even, like, I just looked up, like, weed jokes, and it popped up. So, I was very happy when I found it.
Awesome. I'm ready for it.
So, it's more of a question.
Okay.
But it's a funny question. So... would masturbating while smoking weed be considered master blazing, weed whacking, or hijacking?
That's a great question.
Or would it be master de blazing or master blazing?
That was one
you said. Oh, that was one I said. Oops.
It's okay. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. All of the above? Whatever you want it to be?
The choice is yours.
Maybe fuming and fapping.